Give me a break. This is the LifeSpring 1 Year Bible Rewind, and coming to you from Riverside, California, podcasting since 2004. My name is Steve Webb, and I'm your OG Godcaster. This is the podcast that comes to you every day, and we're reading the entire Bible together in a year. I'm so glad you're here. Truly, welcome to the show. The website is lifespringmedia.com. Now, I usually have a lighthearted day to tell you about here, but today I have an extremely important observance to tell you about. It's National Freedom Day, when we commemorate the signing of the 13th Amendment to the Constitution of the United States. What's the 13th Amendment? The 13th Amendment is the piece of the U.S. Constitution that formally abolished slavery and involuntary servitude in the United States. See, I told you it was an important one. On this date in 1865, President Abraham Lincoln signed the joint resolution to submit the amendment to the states for ratification. It didn't actually become law until December 18, 1865. And you know what? That blows me away, because that's only 89 years before I was born. This is Epistle Sunday. We'll read 1 Corinthians 15 and 16. We'll have some commentary for you after that. Then we'll learn what else happened on this date. And then we'll have a time of prayer. So let's begin. Our Heavenly Father, we love you and we thank you for this treasure, your word, the Bible, because in its pages is the answer to eternal life. Bless our time as we read today, Lord, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Now, brothers and sisters, I want you to remember the good news I told you. You received that good news message, and you continue to base your life on it. That good news, the message you heard from me, is God's way to save you. But you must continue believing it. If you don't, you believed for nothing. I gave you the message that I received. I told you the most important truths, that Christ died for our sins, as the Scriptures say, that He was buried and was raised to life on the third day, as the Scriptures say, and that He appeared to Peter and then to the 12 apostles. After that, Christ appeared to more than 500 other believers at the same time. Most of them are still living today, but some have died. Then He appeared to James, and later to all the apostles. Last of all, He appeared to me. I was different, like a baby born before the normal time. All the other apostles are greater than I am. I say this because I persecuted the church of God. That is why I am not even good enough to be called an apostle. But, because of God's grace, that is what I am. And His grace that He gave me was not wasted. I worked harder than all the other apostles. But I was not really the one working. It was God's grace that was with me. So then, it is not important if I told you God's message or if it was the other apostles who told you. We all tell people the same message, and this is what you believed. We tell everyone that Christ was raised from death. So why do some of you say that people will not be raised from death? If no one will ever be raised from death, then Christ has never been raised. And if Christ has never been raised, then the message we tell is worth nothing, and your faith is worth nothing. And we will also be guilty of lying about God, because we have told people about Him, saying that He raised Christ from death. And if no one is raised from death, then God never raised Christ from death. If those who have died are not raised, then Christ has not been raised either. And if Christ has not been raised from death, then your faith is for nothing. You are still guilty of your sins. And those in Christ who have already died are lost. If our hope in Christ is only for this life here on earth, then people should feel more sorry for us than for anyone else. But Christ really has been raised from death, the first one of all those who will be raised. Death comes to people because of what one man did. But now there is resurrection from death because of another man. I mean that in Adam, all of us die. And in the same way, in Christ, all of us will be made alive again. But everyone will be raised to life in the right order. Christ was first to be raised. Then, when Christ comes again, those who belong to Him will be raised to life. Then the end will come. Christ will destroy all rulers, authorities, and powers. Then He will give the kingdom to God the Father. Christ must rule until God puts all enemies under His control. The last enemy to be destroyed will be death. As the Scriptures say, God put everything under His control. When it says that everything is put under Him, it is clear that this does not include God Himself. God is the one putting everything under Christ's control. After everything has been put under Christ, then the Son himself will be put under God. God is the one who put everything under Christ. And Christ will be put under God, so that God will be the complete ruler over everything. If no one will ever be raised from death, then what will the people do who are baptized for those who have died? If the dead are never raised, then why are people baptized for them? And what about us? Why do we put ourselves in danger every hour? I face death every day. That is true, brothers and sisters, just as it is true that I am proud of what you are because of Christ Jesus our Lord. I fought wild animals in Ephesus. If I did that only for human reasons, then I have gained nothing. If we are not raised from death, let us eat and drink, because tomorrow we die. Don't be fooled. Bad friends will ruin good habits. Come back to your right way of thinking and stop sinning. Some of you don't know God. I say this to shame you. But someone may ask, how are the dead raised? What kind of body will they have? These are stupid questions. When you plant something, it must die in the ground before it can live and grow. And when you plant something, what you plant does not have the same body that it will have later. What you plant is only a seed, maybe wheat or something else. But God gives it the body that he has planned for it, and he gives each kind of seed its own body. All things made of flesh are not the same. People have one kind of flesh, animals have another, birds have another, and fish have yet another kind. Also, there are heavenly bodies and earthly bodies. But the beauty of the heavenly bodies is one kind, and the beauty of the earthly bodies is another. The sun has one kind of beauty, the moon has another kind, and the stars have another. And each star is different in its beauty. It will be the same when those who have died are raised to life. The body that is planted in the grave will ruin and decay, but it will be raised to a life that cannot be destroyed. When the body is planted, it is without honor, but when it is raised, it will be great and glorious. When the body is planted, it is weak, but when it is raised, it will be full of power. The body that is planted is a physical body. When it is raised, it will be a spiritual body. There is a physical body, so there is also a spiritual body. As the scriptures say, the first man, Adam, became a living person. But the last Adam is a life-giving spirit. The spiritual man did not come first. It was the physical man that came first, then came the spiritual. The first man came from the dust of the earth. The second man came from heaven. All people belong to the earth. They are like that first man of earth, but those who belong to heaven are like that man of heaven. We were made like that man of earth, so we will also be made like that man of heaven. I tell you this, brothers and sisters, our bodies of flesh and blood cannot have a part in God's kingdom. Something that will ruin cannot have a part in something that never ruins. But listen, I tell you this secret, we will not all die, but we will all be changed. It will only take the time of a second. We will be changed as quickly as an eye blinks. This will happen when the last trumpet blows. The trumpet will blow, and those who have died will be raised to live forever, and we will all be changed. This body that ruins must clothe itself with something that will never ruin. And this body that dies must clothe itself with something that will never die. So this body that ruins will clothe itself with that which never ruins. And this body that dies will clothe itself with that which never dies. When this happens, the scriptures will be made true. Death is swallowed in victory. O death, where is your victory? Where is your power to hurt? Death's power to hurt is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But we thank God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. So, my dear brothers and sisters, stand strong. Don't let anything change you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord. You know that your work in the Lord is never wasted. 1 Corinthians chapter 16. Now, concerning the collection for the saints, as I directed the churches of Galatia, so do you also. On the first day of every week, each one of you is to put aside and save, as he may prosper, so that no collections be made when I come. When I arrive, whomever you may approve, I will send them with letters to carry your gift to Jerusalem. And if it is fitting for me to go also, they will go with me. But I will come to you after I go through Macedonia, for I am going through Macedonia. And perhaps I will stay with you, or even spend the winter, so that you may send me on my way wherever I may go. For I do not wish to see you now just in passing, for I hope to remain with you for some time, if the Lord permits. But I will remain in Ephesus until Pentecost, for a wide door for effective service has opened to me, and there are many adversaries. Now if Timothy comes, see that he is with you without cause to be afraid, for he is doing the Lord's work, as I also am. So let no one despise him, but send him on his way in peace, so that he may come to me, for I expect him with the brethren. But concerning Apollos, our brother, I encouraged him greatly to come to you with the brethren, and it was not at all his desire to come now, but he will come when he has opportunity. Be on the alert, stand firm in the faith, act like men, be strong, let all that you do be done in love. Now I urge you, brethren, you know the household of Stephanas, that they were the first fruits of Achaia, and that they have devoted themselves for ministry to the saints, that you also be in subjection to such men, and to everyone who helps in the work and labors. I rejoice over the coming of Stephanas and Fortunatus and Achaicus, because they have supplied what was lacking on your part. For they have refreshed my spirit and yours. Therefore acknowledge such men. The churches of Asia greet you. Aquila and Prisca greet you heartily in the Lord, with the church that is in their house. All the brethren greet you. Greet one another with a holy kiss. The greeting is in my own hand, Paul. If anyone does not love the Lord, he has to be accursed. Maranatha, the grace of the Lord Jesus be with you. My love be with you all in Christ Jesus. Amen. In chapter 15, Paul addressed the most important aspect of the Christian faith, the fact that Jesus was raised from the dead. All other major religions have a founder who is dead, but the tomb of Jesus is empty. The unthinkable happened. Jesus' tomb only held its occupant for 3 days. Why is this so important? Because with his resurrection, Jesus proved that he has the power over sin and death. What's more difficult, to come back from the dead or to forgive sins? Of course, to come back from the dead is more difficult. So if he can do that, then he certainly can forgive sins. Paul said, "If Christ has never been raised, then the message we tell is worth nothing, and your faith is worth nothing." And he said, "If Christ has not been raised from death, then your faith is for nothing. You are still guilty of your sins." And quoting Paul once more, "But Christ really has been raised from death, the first one of all those who will be raised." Now, allow me to take a little side trip here. I have a lot more to say about whether Jesus was actually resurrected, but I want to address Paul's statement here where he said that Christ was, quote, "the first one of all those who will be raised," unquote. Some people have asked me, what about those that Jesus raised from the dead during his ministry years? Lazarus, Jairus' daughter, and others. And there was even some in the Old Testament, the widow of Zarephath's son in 1 Kings 17, the Shunammite woman's son in 2 Kings 4, the man raised out of Elisha's grave in 2 Kings 13. How could Paul say that Jesus was the first one of all those who will be raised? Well, the difference is that each one of those people died again. When Jesus arose, it was permanent. Paul was saying that in Christ there is eternal life. Jesus was the first to come back from the dead into everlasting life. And because he lives, we who are his have everlasting life. So now, let's talk about whether Jesus actually died. Some say, oh, come on, a dead man coming back to life? Give me a break. He didn't die on the cross. He only passed out. Well, at first blush, that sounds like a possible explanation. But consider this. The Romans, who were the executioners, were very, very good at this method of killing. Jesus was not the first person to be crucified. This was their preferred method of execution. They crucified thousands of people. It was a very effective way to display their might and cruelty to those they wanted to keep in subjection to them. So to think that they couldn't tell the difference between a dead man and one who had merely passed out is just simply ludicrous, especially given the fact that Jesus had been beaten to within an inch of his life before being hung on the cross. The blood loss from the scourging he received was very significant. And don't forget the spear that pierced his side. In order to be sure that he was dead, a Roman soldier stabbed him in the side. And what came out was water and blood, an indication that the membrane around Jesus' heart had become filled with fluid as a result of what is called hypovolemic shock, which was caused by the scourging. Jesus' body had lost so much blood that the heart had to work overtime to try to pump the blood that wasn't there. The fluid also gathers around the lungs during hypovolemic shock. So when the Roman soldier stabbed Jesus with a spear, he probably pierced a lung and the heart. Yes, Jesus did die on the cross, and he rose on the third day. Over 500 people saw him alive after the resurrection. And when Paul wrote this letter to the Corinthians, he said in essence, go ahead and ask them. Most of them are still alive. Yes, Jesus is alive. And because he lives, we who call him Lord will also live. We possess, even now, eternal life. Our bodies will die, but not our spirits. We will live with him forever. Hallelujah. Death has no victory. The grave has no sting. Verse of the day is 1 Corinthians 15:20. But Christ really has been raised from death, the first one of all those who will be raised. 1 Corinthians 15:20.
LifespringMedia.com/support.
On this date in church history, welcome to February 1st. Today we look at two figures who, though born in different worlds, both saw the global reach of the gospel as their primary calling. We start in 1792 on the shores of West Africa. Over 1,100 black loyalists, men and women who had gained their freedom after the American Revolution, arrived in Sierra Leone to establish Freetown. Now these weren't just settlers, they were Methodist and Baptist converts who brought their faith with them. Their arrival marked a foundational moment for African-led Protestantism, proving that the movement for abolition and the spread of the gospel were deeply intertwined. And then we go to 1801, the birth of Edward Norris Kirk. He became a powerhouse for the Second Great Awakening, but his heart was for the unsaved all around the world. He was a pioneer in missionary advocacy, laboring to connect American evangelicals with their brothers and sisters in Europe. We have no new praises or prayer requests today from the LifeSpring family, so we're just going to pray. Our loving Heavenly Father, we thank you for the glorious hope of the resurrection. Because Jesus lives, we know our labor for you is never in vain. Help us to stand firm in the faith, Lord, to be courageous and strong, and to let everything we do be done in love. May we live each day in the light of your coming. Father, I thank you for the LifeSpring family, and I ask you to bless each one today. Help each of us to walk closer to you every day and to be sensitive to the work of the Holy Spirit in our daily lives. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Our next time of prayer together will be Wednesday. You know what to do. Go to prayer.lifespringmedia.com and fill out that form there. It's easy to do. And if you want to remain anonymous, there's a place on that form. You can tell me that. Or you can just email me at steve@lifespringmedia.com. Or you can text me or leave a voicemail right here.
LifeSpring Family Hotline 951-732-8511.
LifeSpring Family Family Hotline 951-732-8511.
Well, beloved, until tomorrow, may God bless you richly. Thank you for inviting me to be a part of your day. I can't wait to see you again tomorrow. My name is Steve Webb. Bye.
All the programs in the LifeSpring Media family are made possible by your value for value support. Thank you.
The LifeSpring 1 Year Bible Rewind is a LifeSpring Media production hosted by Steve Webb, the OG Godcaster since 2004.